Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. There have been many top security challenges facing financial institutions in 2022, and this year, expect to see fraud prevention even more top of mind. We're joined today by Sudhir Jha, Senior Vice President and Head of Brighterion, a MasterCard company, as well as our own Brian Riley, Director of Credit and Co-Head of Payments and Mercator Advisory Group. They dive into the trends they anticipate developing in the larger fintech and security industries in 2023 and speak to the challenges that have occurred in 2022 that may carry into the new year. They also take a look further into their crystal ball to predict what may be coming down the horizon this year. Sudhir and Ryan, it's great to have you with us today. We're starting the year off, and there are many things that are top of mind for financial institutions. Sudhir, can you speak to some of the top challenges that you're seeing and what we can expect?
Yes, so 2022 was a pretty interesting year. If you think about it, we started the year with COVID still quite prevalent and still sort of scaring all of us. And then the geopolitical events throughout the year kind of kept our anxieties pretty high. And then towards the end of the year, recession fears and economy slowing down, not just the US, but across the globe, has not changed things much in terms of anticipation and anxiety level. So it definitely was an interesting year to navigate. And all of this has not really resolved fully. So if you think about it, COVID still is with us. Geopolitical events still haven't sort of subsided. And if anything, it actually have increased to some extent and expect around the globe. And then the recession fear is still with us, right? And so 2023 is definitely going to start out with a lot of these uncertain times and uncertain events. And we have to plan for it. I mean, that's the best thing is that we kind of know it'll be uncertain and it'll be interesting, challenging, and therefore we can plan around that. And so things like, what do you do from a fintech or financial institution perspective to have your customer base facing credit issues? How do you sort of plan around that? How do you plan around geopolitics impacting your list of entities that you can do business with? Sanction lists keep changing every few weeks or few days. How do you sort of manage that? How do you manage the hybrid work environment and not having all your employees be able to sort of serve customer face to face and those kind of things? So I think all of these things need to be planned and needs to be addressed. But the good thing is that we kind of know these challenges that are going to be coming. Something new might come, but at least these ones are going to stay with us for months or even years to come.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense here, but I look at it from two angles, one on the operational risk side and also the fraud risk side, right? On the operational risk side, we've had a great economy for the last couple of years. Despite COVID, every jurisdiction in the world had some kind of propping up of consumers, right? And everybody's out of money for that. Somehow, I think our grandchildren will be paying for that in years to come. But a lot of that money's worth is gone. So if you start looking at how are things going to prop up, unemployment has been low. It has a good chance to double. Household budget is not keeping up with the pace of costs going up. That's another thing. Interest rates are off the charts. So there's that whole credit risk side that is very important. And it's prime for an AI strategy. Then on the other side of the coin is the fraud risk, right? And you start looking at things like faster payments, FedNow, you know, accelerating the flow, making it easier for life. And we know from Zelle, there's a lot of regulations that have not kept up there, right? And the easier you make it for consumers, the easier you make it for bad guys to penetrate the system. And then on top of that, there's also a movement for a pay-by-bank model, right, that can compete with the payment networks. And they probably won't have the same rigorous fraud protections that the networks provide today. So when I look at into next year, those are the two areas that really seem to be hot, and they're both primed for a strong AI strategy.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think while these problems are going to be there, you're right that a lot of solutions can be built with the tools that we have. AI in particular is definitely one of them.
Information Week's John Edwards shared that he believes the U.S. may be at risk of falling behind in AI leadership. Do you agree? And if so, like, why not? Like, what can be done to help spur AI innovation in the U.S.?
So I look at it at a little bit sort of more gray as opposed to completely black and white that we are falling behind. I think in my mind, US is quite advanced in AI, except that these advancements are limited to a handful of companies. So there are some private companies, if you think about like Google, Amazon, OpenAI and others, they have made a tremendous amount of investment and advanced AI quite a bit, but it is not accessible to everybody. It's not institutionalized. It's not, the government hasn't sort of done the equal investment to make it available to everybody, which used to be quite often done in the, if you look at 70s, 80s, 90s, there were a lot of funding for basic research, for fundamental sort of things that could be made available to everybody to use. And that's where things are lacking in the US, I think, whereas countries like China and others have done investment. I mean, government has pitched in and made sort of these innovations possible, which can then be leveraged by many more entities. And so I would say that it's not the US as a whole is falling behind. It's US as a country, from a government perspective, is not investing enough in AI to make sure that everybody is protected. And the reason it is concerning is this used to be the kind of very common phrase that people would say, that you don't have to run as faster than the cheetah, but then just run fast enough from other people so that you don't get eaten. And in fraud management, that was very sort of principle that most people used to apply, right? Like, just be better than other people, and so fraudsters will go and hit somebody else. But when it comes to security of the country, security of the key institutions, which is where the weaknesses are, you are going to be vulnerable. It's not just that Google is going to be okay and therefore somebody else will be impacted. If our infrastructure goes down, Google will be impacted as well, right? So I think we have to think broadly, how do we make sure that every part of our country is secured, not just my company is secured?
Yeah, you bring up a great concept too. Essentially, how do you democratize artificial intelligence, right? The big players already have it. Small players don't necessarily have it or don't have the capacity to develop their own. And that brings it down to very much to the corner of your solution, right? Is how do you get those skills out so you can level a playing field, not just for to protect against the risk, but also to kind of level the playing field when you're dealing with a customer base.
Absolutely.
We know Brighterion is looking into P2P, account-to-account payments fraud. Can you speak a bit more about the team's plans?
Yes. So Brighterion has been involved in financial fraud for quite some time, over 20 years. But the initial push based on our customer base was towards the card fraud, right? So MasterCard, WorldPay, other customers like that, mostly were using Brighterion solution on the card side. And we have done a pretty good job in the last two decades fighting sort of card fraud at different levels, at the issuer level, acquirer level, even at a merchant level. But what is happening is this account-to-account, both peer-to-peer, but also account-to-merchant transactions are gaining a lot more ground, and more of those transactions are happening in the ecosystem. And so we have started focusing on that area. And the good thing is that MasterCard, widely, which is the parent company of Brighterion, has a lot more data on that side as well. So we acquired VocaLink a number of years ago, and we also are working with many other banks and all that stuff on this kind of data. So we have familiarity with this. And so we are building solutions very similar to what we have done for card side on the account-to-account side, to give solutions that are actually not just working at a one issuer or a one acquirer side, but at an overall network level, and to make sure that we can solve this across all channels. So when we go for account to account, we're actually even saying that we can give you a solution that works across your card payments, non-card payments, like ATM transactions, even crypto transactions. The reason being that fraudsters are also aware that many financial institutions have these silo applications for finding fraud or AML in one channel. So they will have one for card, one for account to account, one for crypto. And so if you mix them up, you can easily hide behind those channels. So you can do account to account transaction, use that fund to buy crypto, and then use the crypto to transact to the merchant, and all that kind of gets mixed up, and you therefore don't know what's happening in the system. So what we are trying to do is provide this sort of multi-rail or multi-channel solution for both in fraud and AML to really give full visibility of all the transactions, so that you can actually make these fraudulent transactions appear much more easily. And also, once you find problem in one area, you can basically kill that entire network across all your channels.
And, you know, on this topic of fraud, any guesses on what the new hot fraud scenario will be beyond P2P fraud?
So this is kind of related to P2P fraud, but what is really happening now is fraudsters are getting caught very easily if they try to use a stolen instrument or use an IP new address and things like that, right? So because most companies have figured out how to detect anomalies, how to detect a different sort of entity trying to transact with them. And so what most fraudsters are doing now, is what we call scam, right? Which where they're trying to make the person who actually owns the instrument do something that is not in their best interest. So, for example, I can call you and tell you that you won a prize of $10,000, but for me to ship you that prize or give you that prize, you have to send me $200. And you'll think, well, I mean, $200, I can get $10,000, let me send you that, right? Now, you transact that, there is going to be very little that a company can do to figure out that this is coming from a different person because you are actually doing the transaction, except that you're getting scammed. And so that is definitely a very hot area. And to be able to figure out that even though this is the same person who owns the account or who owns the instrument, who is doing the transaction, but this is not the kind of transaction they do. And therefore, we have to figure out a way to flag it for them and change their mind. Because it's we are trying to kind of appeal to your senses that you should feel the difference that this is not something that is genuine and that is fake, right? When you go to a shop and buy a fake Gucci, you kind of know that it is a fake Gucci. But in this case, you most probably don't know that. And how do you kind of make sure that the client is aware, right? And so it is going to be very difficult to catch these things, but there are ways to do it. And that's something that, again, we are trying to work on these things because a lot of account-to-account fraud actually is happening more as a scam, not really as a typical fraud that people talk about.
Yeah, that's where faster payments and P2P payments get tricky, right? Because the payment transaction, unlike a credit card, these transactions go through as irrevocable. So to undo that whole mess takes a lot of work, and you've seen a lot of media attention to the current issues there.
Exactly, because there is no protection in some sense, right? I mean, once the transaction happened and the money goes out of the ATM, there is nothing. I mean, the cash is out, right? You can't refund, you can't charge back, all that kind of stuff. So it is, somebody has to eat the loss, whether it is the bank or the consumer. And there are various sort of conversation going on around that. Today, mostly consumers eat that cost. But no matter who does, I mean, somebody is getting sort of in this whole scenario, losing out in the sense. And that's where, as I said, like it gets very tricky. So first party fraud, as we call it, even in the card space, has been happening for a while, right? Where people sort of do the transaction, claim that they haven't done it. But in this case, it's not just first party fraud where they're actually doing fraud. It's actually first party, as I said, scam, where you're doing something because you're expecting a certain thing, but that is not going to happen. So it's not that your intent was bad, it was that you got fooled. And we want to protect that, right? We want to protect consumers to not be able to get fooled that easily.
I think that's something that we're going to definitely see a lot of next year. You give us a look ahead in terms of like what we can expect, especially based on the challenges that have like happened in 2022. They can ask you to take out that crystal ball and put it in front of you. Do you have any other predictions or thoughts that you'd like to share?
So definitely, I think the first party fraud on the card side and in general, the scams on P2P and other things is going to be, it's already happening and it will accelerate because it's very hard to catch. And till we have some really good solutions around that, this will keep happening. But other than that, I think if you go back to the conversation we were having before, there is going to be credit risk in the entire market, whether it is at the merchant level or the consumer level. There are going to be some issue with economy slowing down and people already have spent some of the savings that they had. And that creates a bunch of things, right? So it definitely creates a credit delinquency issue. It creates even more fraudulent attempt by the merchant or by the consumer to claim things that hasn't happened, right? And so increasingly, there is going to be more of that coming in. And so we will have to be prepared for that and find solutions for those things. There is also going to be, and again, we Brighthand does have a solution around sort of credit delinquency, around merchant risk and so on and so forth. There's also, as sort of the crypto winter is sinking in, there is going to be more and more issues in that market as well. We saw FTX sort of explode. There is going to be more issues that will be brought into that side as well. And again, MasterCard has an acquisition, CipherTrace, that provides a bunch of solutions on the crypto side. So there's going to be definitely things as economy worsens, some of the bad things become more prevalent. And so we will see some of those things happen more often than it has happened when the economy was doing better.
Lots of great data and information was shared. Sudhir and Brian, thanks again for all of your insight and perspective. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to have you back on soon.